from Muhlenberg College, this is 2400 Chew. Your host is Megan Keita. In each episode of this podcast, we talk to one Muhlenberg graduate about their current work and the industry in which that work is done. For this episode, Megan spoke with Gabe Martinez, class of 2010, a Broadway actor. As we do with most of these interviews, the conversation began by asking how and when Gabe became interested in his occupation.
My parents actually met doing an off-off Broadway show that was written and directed and produced by a friend of theirs. They met during the show, they started dating, and the rest is history. I grew up in North Jersey, just across the river from Manhattan, and obviously it was always pretty expensive to see Broadway shows, but whenever we could, whenever we got the chance, we would get on the train, we would go into the city, and we would see the show, and it was always a part of my life. And the story that I tell is when I was 3 years old, my parents took me to a local high school's production of Anything Goes. And the big hit number is Blow, Gabriel, Blow. And at 3 years old, I thought they were singing to me. And I thought it was the most magnificent thing I'd ever heard of. And I cried at intermission because I thought it was over. And later that year, my parents took me to see, was it Kathy Rigby or Mary Martin? It would have been Kathy Rigby on Broadway and Peter Pan. And I screamed and clapped when the Darling Children flew. And I cheered to bring Tinkerbell back to life. And I cried at intermission because I thought it was over. And it's always been a part of my life. And when I got to high school, I started doing high school plays. And then I went to Muhlenberg, of course, which has always had a wonderful theater program. And I was a theater major there. And it has never not been a part of my life. Muhlenberg was big for me because that's when I started doing shows for more than one or two weekends. And that's when I would do Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater. And it was like, okay, I can do this as a job. And it was always in my head that, yes, this is something I am very passionate about and love, and that brings me joy, but I can do this professionally. I can make this my job. I can make this my career. And after I left school, I did bit of musical theater here and there, but mostly I was a wedding singer and a cruise ship singer. And for many years, I was on the road, traveling, sort of building my performance chops. And theater did kind of fall by the wayside until Moulin Rouge came along. And the first national tour sort of fell into my lap. And when you reach a certain level in this career, you do realize that while Broadway is amazing and it's and everyone wants to be on Broadway, there's only something like 500 jobs for actors on Broadway at any given time. And the numbers are just like, you have better odds of starting in the NFL, frankly. So you realize that there are many, many careers to be had that don't involve a Broadway stage. And you come to terms with that. And I was having a very fulfilling and successful career doing what I loved. And then in what was 2.5 years ago, but what feels like almost overnight, all of a sudden, here I am at the Hirschfeld Theater, and I'm talking to you and sitting in my favorite chair, and I'm going to get some dinner and nap after this, and then I'm going to be on Broadway and do a curtain call on Broadway and go out to stage door and sign programs. And it seems it hasn't disappointed at all. The shine has not come off the apple. I can't see that it ever will. It's everything I hoped it would be, and everyone I work with wonderful, and the vibes in the building are just so great. Everyone in the building knows each other's names, the house staff, the ushers, the pit, the crew. Everyone hangs out. Everyone is just here to do a great job and to do a great thing for 1,200 to 1,500 strangers every night.
That's awesome. Beautifully said. I'm curious how you landed on Muhlenberg specifically when there are so many places you could go to study theater.
It's funny you should ask that. I was talking to somebody about this just the other day. There were quite a few schools I auditioned for and wanted to go to and was accepted to. But Muhlenberg was the only one that would give me any money to play football. Mike Donnelly, a great, great Muhlenberg coach who has touched so many lives in his time at Muhlenberg and who has sadly passed, but who when I went to visit, I still wanted to play football in college and I wanted to do football and theater, and that was never going to work, but I really wanted to. And Coach Donnelly met me, liked me, he made an impression on me, and he went and found, obviously we're Division III, so we can't give athletic scholarships, but he went and found about a half a dozen small scholarships that I was able to apply for, and that really tipped the balance financially because of Mike Donnelly and because of the 1 year of mediocre Division III football that I played, where I couldn't stay healthy, and I don't think I ever started a game because I got injured before week one. That's the only reason I ended up going to Muhlenberg. I did not come back for my sophomore year, but Coach Donnelly always came to see me in the shows, and he always said hi. And yeah, so for all of the waxing poetic I just did about theater and Broadway, the reason I went to Muhlenberg is one Division III football coach that I never played a game for, who took a liking to me and helped me out. And he's the reason I was at Muhlenberg. And that's where I met my wife. So I think I was thinking about Coach Donnelly a lot this week. So it's wild that you asked me that question. I was just talking about him yesterday.
That's a great story. Wow. I don't think I've ever spoken to a theater person from Muhlenberg who came here because of football. I don't know that I've ever seen too much overlap between theater and athletics here. So that's a really interesting
story. I'm the only one that I know of, at least at Muhlenberg during my time there.
Yeah, that's great. So I know you majored in theater, but you also had a music minor. Can you tell me how you decided to do that?
That was among my my more throwaway decisions. I've always been very musically inclined. I knew I wanted to do theater. And so I didn't want to do anything else. And I was already good at music. So that's not a very good answer, but it's the answer. I'm glad I did. I was able to work with Jeremy Slavin, who had a great impact on my career vocally. As I get later into my career and maintaining my vocal instrument, it becomes a real consideration on an 8-show Broadway week. I am always, always leaning back on what I learned from Jeremy Slavin, and of course, Troy Dwyer, tall voice and speech, and even Vinnie Trovato, who directed many of the musicals. Cannon Weil, who also passed recently. But the music department at Muhlenberg, even though it was just kind of the thing for me to do, has really borne fruit for me. And I'm happy to say that I still return to a lot of those lessons.
And you mentioned before that Muhlenberg was where you realized you could do this as a career, and it was through being in the productions you were in here. So tell me about those productions. Tell me about what you learned from them, what that schedule was like, and how they prepared you for what you're doing now.
I did a few shows my freshman year, but the moment, that sort of watershed moment that I can point to and say, that's when I was like, ooh, okay, I can really do this. That was my first summer that I did SMT. I was in Jim Peck's Tommy, The Who's Tommy, starring Kennedy Kanagawa, another Muhlenberg alum working on Broadway. I also did the children's theater production, which was Bill Mutimer's production of A Year with Frog and Toad. A lovely, lovely little show. But that was a trial by fire, that summer was, because I was doing the children's show in the morning and I was doing Tommy in the evening. They're very demanding shows. I had a featured ensemble role in Tommy, but very involved, a very sort of rigorous show. And Year with Frog and Toad, I was in a cast of five, very small, everyone wearing a lot of hats, very, very demanding. And I remember looking at that schedule and being like, okay, I've done a show for a weekend, I've done a show for 2 weekends, I've done a show for more or less 2.5 full weeks. This will be a whole summer of doing this all the time and trying to make it work and keep myself healthy and not go crazy and not get sick of it. And it was also by far the most professionally run theater experience I had. Both of them were very professionally run. Bill and Jim, and of course, all their directing teams and stage management teams, everyone ran such a tight ship, and I had only ever done community theater, wonderful community and high school theater, but obviously not on a professional level. And to see the way the machine worked and to be a part of it and to get on stage and put out the product and realize that it hadn't, that is, seeing how the sausage is made, so to speak, hadn't decreased my enjoyment or my passion for it. And seeing that I was able to physically and emotionally get out there and do the same thing every night for a different crowd and have it be fresh and not get sick of it and really just love what I was doing every second of it. That was the moment. That summer, writ large, and those two shows specifically.
Between when you graduated and when you became part of the national tour for Moulin Rouge, you had kind of developed a career that you were happy with and you were proud of. Can you tell me kind of what you were doing during that period and, you know, what you loved about that and how you kind of embraced that as your career when Moulin Rouge fell in your lap?
I had done band work with my father, who was a professional musician for a long time. So I had band experience. I started out right away just talking to friends of friends and trying to get involved with some bands here and there. The first job I booked out of school was as a Christmas caroler. So that holiday season, I hooked up with a group called the Yuletide Carolers, who do wonderful, wonderful work in North Jersey and New York and a few other places. And we did the full Dickensian costumes with the wreath and the sprigged holly and beautiful four-part choral arrangements. And that was my first job, my first performing job out of school. Later that next year, I had been auditioning for a bunch of musical theater. Nothing had quite hit. I'd been in for some tours and some regional things. I'd had some callbacks and had started to, in retrospect, maybe not as much as I thought at the time, but build something of a, like, casting director started recognizing me. And I was still unrepresented, but, you know, I got my backstage, my physical backstage in the mail still every week. And I auditioned for Carnival Cruise Lines, and that sort of fell into my lap. I think I walked into the wrong room. Yeah, I was in for something else, and I walked into the wrong room, and I was like, oh, sorry, is this not Kiss Me, Kate, or whatever? Pirates of Penzance, and the guy in there said, no, it's Carnival Cruise Lines. We don't have anybody right now. You want to sing something? And so a month later, I flew to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and got on my first cruise ship. And I was out for 10 months, just a cruise ship singer. And so for the next 7 or so years, I did that on and off. When I was on land, I did a lot of wedding bands, corporate bands, a lot of driving out to this wedding or that wedding or this event or that event. I did some regional shows. I did some non-union tours. So I always kind of had a toe back in musical theater. But it was becoming increasingly clear that the way to make money and make a living was these cruise ship contracts supplemented by wedding band work. That was proving to be the most sustainable looking career that I could have. And worked with a lot of great people, built a lot of skills that I don't think I would have been able to hone anywhere else. Just a lot of on stage time. I learned so much valuable stuff at Muhlenberg, of course, but I can't overstate just what it meant to just like get on stage and do it every night for however long the cruise ship contract was and keep myself healthy and develop my skills and learn choreography and learn to like adapt to various different situations. And my cruise ship career was long and very lovely, and I had so much fun. I think I'm a little too old at this point. I don't think I'd ever be able to go back. That can be a young person's game. Between that and just getting in my car and driving however many hours to whatever gig with whatever band, it was kind of a charmed life. It really was. I was never really built for the road, and I always wanted to be in one place. And I think that, quite frankly, to go back to a question from before, like the biggest part of, easily my favorite part of being on Broadway is that I just get to go back to my home, where my wife and my dog are, and where my stuff is, and like, and just to have one place and a home base. But for the time, for the bits of my career where I was, for a very long stretch of my career where I was on the road all the time, mainly cruise ships and weddings, but also tours here and there, it was really, really wonderful. I look back on that time very fondly, even if I know I could really never do that again.
Absolutely. And you said the national tour of Moulin Rouge fell into your lap. How did it fall into your lap? How did you get connected with that tour at the time that you did?
It was actually through another Muhlenberg alum, Mike Miller, who was, I want to say, class of 08. I'm not sure if he's 08 or 09, but he was working in casting. He just dropped me a line that said, this was a deep in pandemic when stuff was starting to come back. He said, hey, the first national tour of Moulin Rouge is going back out. And I didn't really have a relationship with the movie, and I had kind of heard about the show, and I wasn't really locked in. But he said, this tour is going out, and there's a role that I think is really good for you. And so submitted for it, got in the room. I never would have known about it if not for my good friend from school, you know? And it's just another way Muhlenberg continues to just enrich and inform my life and my career. And I submitted, I went in for an audition, went in for another audition, went in for a callback and another callback and another callback. And I got the call, and here we are, you know? And after a career spanning, frankly, over a decade and a half of just slugging by, being on the road, like taking my lumps, like trying to make money and keep my head above water and still just enjoying my life and all of that, within the space of 2 years, like I just stuck around long enough. I hung in there long enough that the opportunity came along at the right time, it was the right role, and now I'm in this really wonderful position where I get to do what I love and live where I want to live and live that dream. And as much as I would just stay and do this role for the rest of my career, I know that there's other stuff to do. And now I have a foot in the door, and I have a wonderful agency that really goes to bat for me and really champions for me. And that's a DGRW. They take such good care of me over there. And I'm really excited about what comes next as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you tell me how you learned you would be joining the Broadway cast? What was that like?
We were on tour. I got a text from our associate director, Maddie DiCarlo. He texted me and he asked if he could have a Zoom with me the next day. And he was in Korea, and our associate choreographer, Nancy Renee Brown, was in Australia. And so we pieced together a time that we could all Zoom. It was on a two-show day for me, so I came in back to my hotel room between shows, and they told me, and it was as simple as that. And I had really hoped that I might get the call in the previous round of casting, that however many months earlier. So I was kind of trying to like temper my expectations. I didn't want to get my hopes too high, but this is a really wonderful organization, and they take good care of their people. And if you do your job, they will make sure to keep you around. They will try to keep everybody around. They wanted to give me a shot. They found this opportunity for me. They put their trust in me, and they've given me every advantage and every bit of help and advice I could have asked for. They put me in such a great position. And yeah, just simple as that. After a year and a half of being on the road, got on that Zoom call and they told me the good news. And I still had months. I still had quite a few months on tour before I was to open on Broadway. But they let me know as early as they could. They were excited for me, taking such good care of me. I can't say enough about Moulin Rouge. I know that Broadway and Equity in general takes good care of their actors, but this being my only experience, I have it on good authority from almost everyone else that's worked for Moulin Rouge that they are an organization that really, really prides themselves on taking great care of the people. And I couldn't be more grateful. It couldn't have happened any better. I wouldn't change a thing.
And now that you're on Broadway, please tell me what a typical day looks like for you. How are you kind of taking care of yourself to be putting in 8 performances a week?
Good question. I'll give you 2 answers to that. I'll give you the ideal answer, which is I sleep in a bit. My dog comes and wakes me up and lets me know that it's time to start the day. Walk the dog, get to the gym, run errands, and hang out with my wife, do whatever needs to be done, maybe get coffee with a friend in town. And then on a one show day, around the 5 o'clock or so train from Bloomfield, New Jersey into Penn Station, get here about an hour before showtime. If there's a lift call, we will do that. If there's any subs in and we need to practice any of the more challenging lifts, we'll do that about an hour before showtime. We have a full-time physical therapist at the Hirschfeld. Her name's Tori Banner. She's wonderful. She takes great care of us. Keeps us all healthy. If I have a PT session with her, then that's usually around when that'll happen. Then it's makeup, mic, costume, do the show, get out, stage door, get on the train, go home. And that's the end of my day. The two show days can get rough. Those are the days where I need to get in early because if it's on a weekend, the trains are kind of tricky. I'll usually just stay in my dressing room and eat and nap between shows. Two show days are a bit of a marathon. Those require like real conservation of energy. But on an 8-show week, if I'm able to get to DC when I need it and I'm able to get to the gym most days, that's pretty much what it takes. And then just buckle down on those 2-show days. I'm dealing with an injury right now sustained on the tour. So my days have been a lot more doctor's appointments and rehab and more physical therapy and some acupuncture when I can get it. So that's the real answer. The ideal answer is the first one I gave you. The real answer for right now is I've been spending a lot of time in the city managing this injury. But again, which I'm only able to do because the show takes such good care of me. Workers' comp is in good communication with everybody. I'm able to, there's a team of doctors just Frankensteining me together to keep me healthy and to keep me on stage. That is the more realistic answer. The deeper you get into a contract like this, and of course, I'm only a few months in, but I only had 4 days off between my last show in Washington, D.C. at the Kennedy Center and my first day of rehearsal here at Moulin Rouge. So I've more or less been going for 2 years straight. And when you're in that schedule for that long, there is a litany of bumps and bruises and various things that just require more or less constant upkeep. But it's a challenging show. And if you come out and see Moulin Rouge, you won't be surprised at all to learn that half of us are in and out of PT most of the time. It requires a lot of supplemental and compensatory workouts to support those nagging injuries and keep us healthy and make sure we don't get any imbalances and make sure that we are at our best. I do a lot of partnering in the show, and my wonderful dance partner, Sophie Carmen Jones, here at the Hirschfeld, she and I spend a lot of time together. We go over anything we need to go over. We make little adjustments depending on if one of us is hurting or if one of us is not feeling well. And there's a real dialogue about that. But I know that the ensemble partner at various points with almost everybody in the cast and have to keep that up and have to make sure they know what they're doing and have to make sure everybody's healthy. We have swings on and off stage that cover anywhere from 2 to 9 dancer tracks or principal tracks. Have to know all of those, have to know where to be. I'm in a very charmed position where I'm on that principal contract. I just got to know my role and that's it. And if I have to dance with another dance partner, I'll come in early and we'll do what we need to do. But yeah, there are people in this cast that have to cram so much information into their brains and their bodies have to be able to do all of it. So yes, that's a very long answer to say that on a perfect week, I have a lot of time to just take care of myself and enjoy my life and then come here and do the shows. But as you get deep into a contract like this, there is a consideration for a lot of physical upkeep and vocal upkeep. It's not a particularly tough thing for me, but of course our two leads, and to another extent, our secondary lead, Harold Ziedler, they never leave the stage.
I mean, it seems like that part of being in this show, that it's physical show that you've been doing for so long on tour and now on Broadway, would you say that's the most challenging part of being a Broadway performer, or would you say something else is the most challenging part?
No, that's it. That's it. And I think a few months ago, if you had asked me, I would have probably been like, ooh, no, maybe the pressure and the expectations. And I feel like I would have had a dozen other guesses for what the hardest part would be. But no, it's still just the old meat bag, just trying to keep it up and running. And in a way, that's kind of really nice. It's nice that it's still just getting out there and doing the job and staying healthy. Otherwise, the only thing that's changed is the name on the building and the credit on my resume. Otherwise, it's the same job. It's the same job everywhere. It really is. We all, no matter where you're working, we all do have the same job. And any one of us could easily be here instead of me. But we are all out here doing the same job. And it's an important job. And when people take it really seriously and really give a damn about it, it makes such a difference. It really does. And it's nice to have that realization. The skies didn't suddenly open up because I'm on Broadway and now there's this whole new land. Nope, we're just coming out here and going to work. And still got to take care of our bodies and still got to drink our tea. And there's something very sort of unifying about that when it comes to looking at the theater community as a whole.
Can you reflect on the most rewarding aspects of being a Broadway performer?
My knee jerk is to say stage door, because I remember being a young kid coming out to see these shows and hoping that the actors would come out the stage door and hoping that they would stay and he'd be signed my program. And I am making sure that if I don't have to sprint to catch a train, I'm always, always out there, because I remember what it was like. And I remember how much it meant to see that somebody had taken the time to come and look me in the eye and talk to me and share a kind word and thank me for coming. And that's been really great. But that was also really great on the road. And I think that in some of, like, when we go out to these other cities that maybe only have 3 or 4 shows come through a year, that was extremely gratifying. It's very cool to do it on Broadway, and it feels good to do it on Broadway. But out in Houston, Fayetteville, Arkansas, people that would come to the stage door, that in some ways almost meant more. So I think the best part about being on Broadway so far is how much it's just not all that different. That's really wonderful for me. I'll say this. I opened the same night as Tyus Burgess opened, one of just the brightest Broadway stars of the last decade. Working with him is so wonderful. Such a smart and thoughtful actor. Such a really giving scene partner. And I think they've announced it. I can say it. Next week, we have our put-in rehearsal for Boy George as Harold Ziedler. So as many amazing people as I worked with on the road, and as much as those are, I'll still hold them up as some of the best people I've ever worked with. It is very cool to be here for some of these castings and get to work with somebody like Tyus and get to work with a living legend in Boy George, really. Our folks that are in the studios with him right now have nothing but great things to say. He's great to work with. Everyone thinks the vibes are really great. And that's a special thing that doesn't quite happen anywhere else. But yeah, it's all been the same, which is really, really great.
Thinking about what you would tell aspiring Broadway actors out there, what you would tell the Muhlenberg student who's coming here, bent on going to Broadway, what would your guidance or advice to those people be?
I always have such a hard time with this question, because the first thing is I would want to reiterate what I mentioned to you earlier, just the numbers are against us. They really are. There are so, so many amazingly talented and deserving actors out there, and there are only so many spots. And I will never forget how lucky I was to have gotten one of those spots, and all the things that had to happen completely outside of my control to get one of those spots. So I don't want to lead off the answer to that question by trying to temper expectations, but that is something to keep in your head, because the next like version of that is, and then there are so many other ways to make a career other than being on Broadway. And you can find, and they are there for you. If you love it enough and you want to do it enough, you will have a career in this business. You can do it. And if you don't, you shouldn't try and force yourself to, because gosh, it can be really, really grueling. It really can. But if you love it enough and if it's your thing, then hang in there. Something will come along. And if it's not Broadway, it will be worth it. It will still be a career that you can be proud of and that can support you and your family. Hang in there. And the good things will happen. And to a lesser extent, from a more nuts and bolts standpoint, don't try and fit yourself into a box. Don't try and game the system. Don't try and predict what kind of person they're going to want to see in an audition room. Don't do it, because you're going to be wrong more often than you're going to be right, and you're going to miss chances. Go into every audition room as prepared as you can be and just be you every time. I remember one night in Chicago, we opened in Chicago, and while we were teching one night, we went out for some drinks, and I was sitting with a choreographer and just expressing a bit of anxiety, a bit of imposter syndrome. I had a rough day. The dancing has never come as easy to me. And so I was just, it was getting on top of me a little bit. And she was like, we can make the choreography suit you. We didn't cast you to do the choreography perfectly. We cast you because you walked into the room and we said, there's our Santiago. And it was my first live audition back from pandemic. I had no expectations. I knew nothing about the show. And so I didn't try to be anything I wasn't. I didn't try on a bunch of different outfits to be like, oh, what do I think they want to see today? No, I just, with no agenda or expectations, I walked in the room and I was myself. And myself happened to be what they were looking for. You are not going to get anywhere trying to wedge yourself into some other shape, trying to beat yourself into a form you think is better suited for the job you're going after. You are enough. Your opportunity will come. Hang in there.
This episode of 2400 Chew was produced by the Office of Alumni Affairs at Muhlenberg College. It was recorded remotely and engineered in the studios of WMUH Allentown, Pennsylvania. Our opening and closing music from Cowboy Bebop is performed by the Muhlenberg College Jazz Big Band.